All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And basically, I've got to talk a lot about the health situations I had, which were wrong according to what I posted on MGTOW.TV. I did not have a TI. I didn't have a mini stroke. I didn't have an aneurysm, anything like that. Okay. So, making it short, basically what happened to me is I was in the bathroom, I was straining a little hard, which happens because I have IBS and I have a lot of other hemorrhoid issues and things like that that I'm trying to work with and fix and repair, and I just strained a little bit too hard, and basically, no, I didn't, I mean, even though that can happen, if you had an aneurysm, which I don't, if you had an aneurysm, it could rupture like that. That's one of the biggest ways to rupture an aneurysm is by straining in the bathroom.
As well.
Yes. Yes. I actually looked that up. There was an article about it. It's one of the biggest ways for somebody to get a have a stroke. That shit changes.
Well, maybe that's why a lot of people die on the toilet from strokes.
Maybe. You have to be really careful in there. And if you can't, well, I mean,
it's not for the faint of heart.
Well, no, I'm saying that if you have, you can't strain, you have to really work. I mean, you could push, but you don't want to go too far because if you do, you can have things happen to you. Yes. So if you can't go, consider using, stool softeners and, even laxatives. I mean, if you have to. I mean, some people just have to use laxatives when they get older. Depends on their dietary things. I am no longer in my 20s. I'm not a teenager. I'm in my 30s. I'm almost in my 40s. And I do need to kind of start taking it a little bit more, you know, cautiously. No. Fiber can sometimes do the opposite. It can constipate me further.
If you don't drink enough water with it.
Water can... Well, no, it's not even that. I'd rather do the stool softener route. But
you don't like fiber?
No, I don't.
It's in a lot of stuff.
I know it is. I'm just not a big guy, big on Metamucil. I tried it. It didn't work for me. But you gotta understand, my bowels are tied to my nerves. That's what IBS is, irritable bowel syndrome. My mother has ulcerative colitis. So, I mean, all this shit runs kind of, it doesn't run in our family. It's a result of the trauma. So, but basically, you know, because the trauma I went through, it messed up my stomach, it messed up my bowels, it did a lot of shit on me. Hold on. Getting some information that Ken used to work with war vets. Now, I don't know about Vietnam, but war vets. And he actually listened to my problems and was like really upset. And I was like, damn, dude, you've talked to guys that have been in war and you're saying that my shit is pretty up there. I'm like, I mean, I didn't think it was that bad, but hey, I'm not the one to judge on that. I guess he's the one with the psychology degree that actually understands this stuff. And maybe I've been through some real life PTSD, and maybe that's why a lot of my shit is fucked, and I just gotta deal with it. But, anyway, guys, you don't read the stuff on the internet either, because the internet made everything worse. I was reading everybody's site everywhere, and of course, it'll tell you aneurysm, it'll tell you hemorrhage, it'll tell you TIA, which is a mini stroke. See, when I made that video, I said I had a TIA. I didn't have a TIA. I didn't have anything even remotely close to a TIA. All I had was a vagal reaction, and that's with the vagus nerve, or, you know, like, sounds like a place in Metroid, you know, Vagus, especially since it's spelled V-A-G-U-S, and a lot of the stuff in Dread seems to have that S at the end, or there's a U somewhere in it, so I was like, oh, okay. And it's not a really big deal, you know, I went to the emergency room because y'all were like, oh, go to the emergency room. Get yourself checked out. It could be serious. And everybody on my Facebook, social media, you need to go. And I talked to a doctor on Doctor On Demand. I don't even want to tell you guys how much that shit was. No. And she was like, oh, I'm not going to tell
just
you.
Just for an idea so other people know.
It's pretty high.
Over 100?
No, but it's very close to it. Yeah. Of course, if you have mental, if you have insurance, it won't be that bad. If you have insurance, it's not a big deal. But if you don't have insurance,
I don't pay that much to hear someone on the phone said, "I think you're going to be okay." I'm like, "Could you? Is there any?"
Well, they can't. I don't think they can actually do that.
I know,
they can't deal. They can't go with major issues. And basically, me and the Asian woman. Well, by the way, there's definitely much. These. I mean, she's definitely one of those fat Asians. You know, Drexel was talking about these. And no. I actually got a red pill there. I got a red pill from the doctor. Because when I was in the doctor's, looking at the picture that the doctor used, you know, she's an Asian woman. She actually looked pretty attractive in the picture. But then when I saw her in the video, I'm like, oh my God. It's like that Asian woman ate the Asian woman in the photo. And she had really bad, like, skin care. She had, like, there's, like, just not, she wasn't wearing makeup at all. So it just looked really bad. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, she was cool and stuff, but yeah, she was totally fat Asian, and I was like, oh my God, it's, and she's young fat Asian, guys. She's not old fat Asian. She was young. So, what Drexel is saying about these Asians is definitely true, guys. You know, just a little red pill there. But, also, you know, when I went into the emergency room, I talked to the nurse. The nurse told me, oh, yeah, that's just a vagal response. And I'm like, vagal response? Like, and I read vasogial or vasogol, whatever that shit was, because I was on the internet looking up everything. And I was like, you know, it really, because, you know, I was actually going towards that myself. And so was my friend that previously worked in mental health. She was very, very helpful, by the way. I want her on the show. But she basically said, you know, take some ibuprofen. And see if that works for you. It should help your swelling go down or whatever. I was having a tension headache. And I thought it was a brain swelling. Of course, you can think everything when the internet tells you. So, and because I have general anxiety disorder, and general anxiety disorder is fucking awful. My anxiety pushed this shit into overdrive to where my heartbeat was going at like fucking, I don't even know. Like, faster than a heart needs to beat. And, just my dreams, dude, everything was all mixed. And I kept hearing the same song over and over and over again in my head. It wouldn't go away. It was this Nevermore song I was listening to, which I do like, thank God. But it kept playing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And my dreams just started mixing. It was these weird anime looking, like, I'm not even lying, guys. It was just like, everything was like, take a whole bunch of anime, just mix it fucking together and like make it all, I mean, that's what it was. It was so fucking bizarre. And all that was anxiety response. All of it. Every single bit of that was anxiety. None of that was caused by any of the issues of the vagus nerve. And I didn't find that out until after I went and had, you know, went and talked to the nurse. Of course, they did ask me the COVID questions. The COVID questions were pretty simple. They asked if I had it, any kind of symptoms. I said no. I said, when's the last time I was checked? I said it was February, but, you know, I haven't had any symptoms, haven't needed it. They asked if I was jabbed. I said no, I hadn't been jabbed. They said, okay, that's all we need to talk about. It was fine. She wasn't even wearing a mask. Well, no, I think she was. She was wearing a mask, but... They weren't pushing it. They weren't, you know, it wasn't crazy. There was nobody in the emergency room. That was one of the nicest emergency rooms I've ever been in.
Oh, Jared.
Yeah, that place. Yes, the local
They've
hospital.
They've gotten a lot better. They used to have a lot of malpractice suits.
Yeah, they're good now.
Hired outside the city for...
They pay really...
There's people coming from the city over. It's more popular, you know. Yeah,
it's good.
They're coming over there to here because now they're making more money here than they would be working in the capital area.
I felt very comfortable. Like, I could talk to the nurse and said, "Nurse, do I need to just, like, tell you what's going on?" And, yeah, she wanted to hear it, like, right there at the reception. Like, not even in... And then after that, they took me to another nurse who went and checked me. And, of course, she's the one that asked me all the questions. They did my blood pressure. And My blood pressure always freaks me out because that cuff gets tight. And when that cuff gets tight, it fucks with my anxiety. So they probably don't get good blood pressure responses. They're like, oh my God, your blood pressure's... Yeah, because I'm going through a traumatic response because my body feels like it's being constricted. And that's not their fault. That's just my anxiety. I guess I need to probably start speaking up and saying, is there any other way to do this?
You know, might have to do is what I had to do is... check mine before I go to bed and check it when I wake
up.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Because I have to do it for... I got to keep records of all my labs.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget. You get. Yeah, you got to do
so,
all that.
So, yeah, I keep a blood pressure cuff, and I have to do that and take my temperature and all kinds of... take my weight. And then it's just a bunch of junk. It's very... tedious and repetitive. After a while, you know, my blood pressure didn't, you know, it doesn't even bother me to get my blood pressure, which I don't think I've ever... when it's off, sometimes the cuff will squeeze your arm too tight.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Or it'll stop and then it'll start back up again and get another.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, you know, I don't care for it when that happens, but I usually think, well, it only lasts a certain amount of time, and then you're done with it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like I said, I had that done. But basically, no, the doctor told me, he said, I basically had a vagal response, which is made worse by my anxiety disorder. And I said, okay, that's good. Can you go ahead and just check my head anyway? Just so we can be sure everything is good. And he's like, if you want, yeah, I'll check your head. We'll make sure everything's okay.
And then they came back in.
And then they...
We have some bad news.
No, it wasn't like that.
It's broken.
yeah. It wasn't like that. But no, basically the guy told me he just brought a chair over. I sat in the seat. He pushed me all the way through this labyrinthine hospital. And basically when I got... to the radiation room, they told me to sit down, and there was very comfortable, almost fell asleep. Because I hadn't had any sleep. I've been, you know, after you not getting sleep, and your dreams running together, and the Nevermore song playing in your head constantly. You finally start to get tired. And I was like, oh my God, I almost fell asleep in there. And he said, yeah. He said, it is really lulling. A lot of people do end up trying to fall asleep in there. I said, well, shit. But anyway, they did the scans, and it said it's going to take us about 45 minutes to get the results for these. So I just chilled, and then some guy came in and got my information and all that. I was almost about to fall asleep right there on the bed. Like, I was literally just going to crash.
Yeah.
And then that guy came in. I almost wanted to tell him to leave because I was,
I'm going to have to charge you for the room.
Yeah, I don't care.
Never mind, stay.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, but he just wanted to get my information for billing and all that. Anyway, basically what happened is they came back, and it was not the doctor, it was another nurse. And the nurse says, well, I got the papers, and we're letting you go. And I said, well, what's the results? And she said, hold on, let me get to it. She said, they basically, because I have the results paper, it says, no acute findings on CT of head. And it says, return to emergency department if worsening symptoms. And they do want a follow-up, but, you know, I probably won't be doing that. So I don't have that kind of health insurance anyway. And basically, the discharge diagnosis problem was a headache, and the discharge diagnosis was a vagal reaction. Okay, now, I have been doing a little better. However, I guess my body's still working through the anxiety response, the trauma response, because I was being put through basically what 2 days of trauma, and my body is trying to react back to that. It's trying to snap back together. But the problem with that is now when I wake up, I get really dizzy sometimes, and I get like vertigo, lightheadedness. And, you know, a friend of mine said, you know, that could be low blood pressure. And, you know, basically what happens when I was getting off the toilet, I would have that same response. And I guess it has to be the vagus nerve that I damaged.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did some research on how to repair that thing. And, you know, it's not what you think. It doesn't require surgery. It's a nerve that basically fixes itself pretty easy. You can actually fix it by, you know, being quiet. You can fix it by singing, chanting, complimenting people. There's a lot of different things you can do to fix the vagus nerve. It's not something that requires a lot of assistance. It does fix itself. It's not one of those nerves that, oh, once it's gone, it's gone. No, it's it can fix itself pretty well. So I'm working with that, and I'm just dealing with a little bit of vertigo, a little bit of dizziness. Not, again, not crazy. I could work with it. And, you know, got to keep in mind, my anxiety speeds up a lot of things. And the thing about having anxiety is you don't have to be thinking about something to have anxiety. Like, anxiety can just happen whenever your body feels like it wants to be anxious. Now, I will say, yeah, you get some anxiety playing, like, horror games and sometimes. Like I was playing the Corpse Party stuff, and I got maybe a little bit, you know, like, you do get with horror, fear-type things. But other than that, no, it's not that bad. I mean, I could be playing Dread and get anxiety. And I'm not talking about the Emmy shit. I'm just talking about regular old running around. All of a sudden, you feel like you're having a... it always feels like you're having a heart attack, but you're not. It's an anxiety attack. Anxiety attack, heart attack suck because they're kind of similar, but one will kill you, one won't. One is just a pain in the ass, and I get a lot of anxiety attacks. It's something I've learned to deal with. And just something I have to work with, you know. It's not a big deal, you know. I have to start taking care of myself more. I'm not 20. I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm 36. I'll be 37 next year. You know, obviously, I'm getting close to 40. So it might be time to start maybe doing things a little differently. And I am doing more exercise. You know, when I first get home from work, I'll actually go in there and start lifting weights and stuff. That's actually helped a lot. So I'm going to start doing that more. Again, that's something I shouldn't have stopped. And, you know, basically just trying to build myself back up. Really focus on my hemorrhoid issues. Focus on my bowel issues. You know, kind of maybe get more me time instead of doing all the videos and content. Like, have time for me where I can just calmly, like, listen to music and kind of, like, therapy, you know. Because a lot of times when I'm off, I don't do the things I need to do, like relieve my stress and anxiety, which I do through music, and I do that usually late at night. And I don't get a chance to do that because I'm making content. So I'm going to, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, every, like, I guess the 2 days I'm off, I'm just going to start having an hour for me to just kind of get some things out and hopefully fix things back to normal. You know, headbanging even kind of helps get me back into the groove. It's like movement of the head, anything like that, and kind of get the juices or the liquid, whatever the shit is that's kind of out of whack in my brain. Like, that helps. So I need to just start doing that. And, of course, it's not an LBP. It's not a low blood pressure issue. Because, you know, I ate. Usually that kind of fixes it when I did have, you know, because I do have a thyroid issue. But usually that didn't work. I still kind of was dizzy. And the water didn't work because I was still kind of dizzy. Again, it's just a vagus nerve problem. It's something that's going to go away with time. And obviously, I'm not worse for the wear. I was, like, when I couldn't remember fucking shit. But now I'm to the point where I am thinking a little bit more cognitively. So I can kind of get this under control. So I did want to keep the video up, though, because I wanted people to know how scary that was. You know, it was Halloween, and some might say that I was due for a good scare. Unfortunately, that was not the kind of scare I was looking forward to. Health scares do kind of, like, you know, you start to think about death a little more. You think, I mean, and that's kind of Halloween and all the October. You know, a lot of that stuff is about death and accepting death, and, you know, that is something that will happen. And basically going through this, it kind of gave me that lesson, you know. So you think a little bit more about that kind of stuff. You don't focus on it, because there's so many people worried about the world right now, like, oh, this will be bad, But, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen to you because of that stress and anxiety. Like, you can worry yourself out to the point where you can have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. So a lot of people just don't even realize they're so worried about the world that they're not focusing on their own mental health and things like that. And this is something I want to talk with Ken about because, you know, like I said, Ken did work with Vietnam vets. Not Vietnam, I said Vietnam again. But vets in, I guess, the Iraq-Afghanistan war. He did do it with Vietnam. That's pretty old. I mean, I don't know if he did. I mean, that is like... That's old. But, he basically, we did our interview, which I had to take off because of the fatty caddies, but, basically, he listened to my shit that was going on, and he was like, yeah, a lot of the stuff that happened to you was just fucking awful. It's not what you said it was. It's actually worse than you think it is. And he would know. He's the guy that, you know, went to school and did all the research and study. He takes his job very seriously. And he's worked with all these vets who have just been completely scarred and damaged. And if he says that the shit that I have been through is kind of on par, not completely equal, but on par with that, you know, then that's really got me thinking, you know, perhaps I was put through some sort of PTSD, and maybe I will just have to deal with these kind of things, and it's just something that you deal with in life, you know. Things aren't always great and rosy, but you can make them good, you know. I want to think, I guess Metroid Dread, even though I just put that video talking about how shitty the devs were treated, when I was really bad off and I didn't know what was going on, I put in Dread, because I couldn't really play anything else. I tried playing Abaddon for a while, but the music was kind of, I guess, scary. And music will freak me out. Like, scary music can do shit to me. I don't know why. But it can freak...
Because it sets the mood.
I guess it does. And,
if you listen to something... That's,
yeah, you know,
music,
I wonder...
in movies and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like
wonder...
Like, what a suspenseful moment is. Mm-hmm. But maybe you don't know it should be a suspenseful moment. They put... Ba-ba-ba!
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
go, oh, shit. Something's about to go down.
Yeah, I gotcha. But, yeah, I mean, it's like that probably did it to me a lot. But when I was playing Metroid, you know, that fucking helped. And I was like, damn, I actually beat one of these Emmys, so I'm probably not that bad of cognitive shape if I actually... The motherfuckers are not easy. And I beat the fast one. I beat the one that had the speed booster. That was a bitch. I'm like, well, if I can handle that, I'm not that damn cognitively broke. And it turned out it wasn't anything to really worry about. However, I just got to deal with this other bullshit now, and eventually it will go away. I mean, everything does pass in time. You know, it takes a while to heal. It's not something that, like I told my associate, I told a, well, I want to say, like one of the employees I work with, I told her, I said, it's not something that just goes away tomorrow. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a number of weeks. It might take a month. But it'll go away. And I will fight it. It won't control me. My anxiety won't control me. I'll get this vagus nerve repaired. There's a lot of different things you can do. They do say that you can splash water on your face, which I've done that. I did that back when I was having light vagus nerve reactions. And that's when I would strain for a little bit. Not too much, but that was the most I ever strained. And that's what fucked me up. And I was like, oh my god, let's never do that again. It's basically my body saying, hey, that, no. It's like that meme, the Black Panther meme. No, we don't do that here. That's basically what it is. No, we don't do that here. That's basically what it is with telling me straight up. It's like, don't strain that hard. Don't mess yourself up, because it's not worth it. Like, you want to enjoy life. You want to enjoy the decline. You can't enjoy the decline if you're cognitively fucked. You can't enjoy the decline if you go blind. You can't enjoy that stuff. You can't have fun. And
if all you can say is pickles.
Yeah. Yeah, because that shit's kind of, yeah, you can't enjoy comedy and even horror, you know? Like, I mean, I like to, it's horror movie month. There's a lot of horror movies I wanted to watch. Probably won't be watching too many of them because of the issues. You know, they seem to raise my anxiety recently. I hate that. But, we'll get back to the point where I can start doing that stuff again. It's just, I mean, even this doesn't really bother me on screen. It's just, you know, blessing zombies. I don't care.
Dead zombies.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. It doesn't bother me too much. But no, I just wanted to let you guys know where I was at, and that I am gonna make it through. You know, I'm sorry for the worrying you, and I know I posted that message in the Discord, like, if something happens to me, carry on the message and all that, and I still believe that. I still believe that, you know. Hush.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I
know, but this is kind of a big thing, because when I was going through something, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was like, you guys need to fucking carry on the message. I said, basically, I stand for, you know what I stand for, and what I stand against. And when I went on that show with Drexel, I made it very, very clear. I wanted to make it clear. I wanted people to be able to look at that episode years from now and understand what I stand for. And I want to do another show with Ken. Ken and I have been talking about it. Ken said to me, he basically said, you know, they think, and he's talking about the fatty caddies, they think that I am a horrible, like that he's an awful person for talking to me. I'm like, really? I was like, am I that awful a person? I was like, you know, and I said, you know, and I think it's time for me to drop the bombshell. The bombshell is that, you know, first of all, I did that interview with a woman, which has actually been watched a lot. I've looked at the YouTube views. We have a bigger YouTube audience now, so everything's probably going to go to YouTube, except for the stuff that's hentai related, because I've been fighting those bastards on the fucking bullshit thumbnails. Oh, your thumbnail shows just a little hint of boob. That's too much. Too much. But listen, you know what really got me? When they showed Celicia, and you remember that scene where the slime is creeping up on her?
Yeah.
Like, most people can tell what's going on there, but for YouTube, that doesn't break anything. They said, oh, that's fine. But having the scene where there's no exposed vagina. There's a little bit of boob showing. It's like the very...
Cleavage or boob?
It's the bottom. It's the bottom.
Oh, but it's no nipple.
No, if there is, there's like a... No, there's no nipple. It might be maybe a tinge. Yeah. Like, it's covered.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
that
covered.
That sounds like it depends on who viewed it.
Well, no. These are their bots that are doing this, guys. Because I tried to change it twice. They gave me 3 goddamn warnings in one day. They also gave me a warning for using JList. I cannot use JList in my YouTube links because JList... Apparently, you can buy Onaholes on there. And Onaholes, even though Jast USA and Manga Gamer both sell adult content, JList, because you can buy Onaholes, they will not let me promote that in my videos. They consider that an adult link like the Dollhouse. So you cannot promote JList, unfortunately. I was not aware of that because I wanted people to know where to get the collector's edition. So if you want that collector's edition of Closed Game, you're going to have to go to the JList and pre-order it because that's all you can do. And, of course, Jast is selling it right now. It's doing fairly well. And when I get done with this, I'll probably do part 5 because I am interested in the story for Closed Game. But
just odd what they decide. Warning, because they used to have figure drawing on there where you would draw a new model, and it was just a nude person posed, and the camera would rotate, so you could draw from whatever angle you decided. But you can probably look up nudes now, and you'll find plenty of fully nude. Things from overseas on YouTube.
Oh yeah, people were kind of telling me the things that you can find on there, but I do need to get to the article part of this since I have talked about my health. But yeah, definitely, like Drexel did an episode about health on MGTOWN Podcast. You know, listen to that and. You know, just really kind of take care of your health because, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen unexpectedly and they can kind of change your life. And reading all about the stuff that can happen with the aneurysm and the brain hemorrhage and all that shit, like, I'm thankful I don't have anything like that. I'm thankful I don't even have an unruptured one. But, you know, if I did, that could have changed my life.
Yeah.
And something I got to think about. So I'm just fucking thankful. And you know what was cool? Because the day after I realized it was going to be all right, the new Starset record came out. And I jammed that record 3 goddamn times in a row. I loved it so much, I just kept jamming it over and over and over again. And that was like an experience, you know, like, I was like, well, that was my reward for getting through this shit in a way, because I didn't even know it was coming out. I knew that there was singles, but I didn't know anything about a release. And they're actually coming here to this state on November the 7th. I'd love to go see them, but I don't know how I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
But
who is it? What is it?
Starset.
I have no idea who they are.
They are great. Amazing band. I could listen to them again and again and again and again.
Are they in the capital city?
No.
No?
No, they're actually closer.
Closer?
Mm-hmm. It's really surprising.
Well, we're really close.
So. Might be. I don't know. It might be on this side, not up here, but
you'll have to tell me afterwards.
Yeah, on this side. I'll basically send you a memo.
Yep,
you
still got a gun to get. Learn how to shoot that.
Yeah, I'll look at
they
it.
They had some.
I have not been. Don't say the name.
Oh no, that's way on the top end of the.
Oh,
state.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh,
that's.
Okay.
That's near where our college team is from.
Okay, well, I didn't know. I didn't know how far away it is, but yeah, that's where they're at. And they don't really do shows, and it's like they're from California, but they're doing shows in, like, parts of the South. They're also going to be in Tennessee, and I'm like, damn, they're going to all these places. They're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. I don't know how close that is to us.
I think it's the middle of Tennessee, maybe.
Hmm.
That's a trip, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wish these bands would come to, you know, places where they might actually
you
make
know, Nashville's
money.
Like a 7-hour trip.
God damn, I didn't even realize that.
I think, yeah, it's a day, but I think Memphis is a 3-hour.
Obviously, I'm going to do another show to talk about more techie-type articles, but as far as the main ones I want to get out, and, you know, you'll have to excuse me, I'm still dealing with this. We'll start from the bottom. I got an article today, well, yesterday. This I kind of agree with, and you guys can let me know how you feel. But basically, we have a woman leading a $600 million suit against Pornhub. She says, my sexual abuse as a child is immortalized in videos, she told City News. This is Business Insider. The lead complaint in a class action lawsuit against MindGeek, who owns most of the porn company, 80% of the porn industry, rather, is owned by MindGeek. The parent company of Pornhub has said that her child abuse was filmed and uploaded to the site. The woman, known only as Jane Doe, said that a family member dying was meant to be the end of the sexual abuse she suffered by him. However, a message on social media from a former high school friend reopened that suffering. It was in my message request, so I didn't see it right away, Jane told Canadian news site City News for the first time speaking to the media. When I opened it, I froze. The message was linking to the video on Pornhub. At the time of the film abuse, she was only 12. She told City News that she was able to find more videos of herself through the comment section of the footage, all of her as a minor experiencing abuse.
Obviously, that should be taken down.
Yes, but even if Pornhub takes it down, it'll just resurface somewhere else because there are those download features available. It's always going to be there, she added. The company has said that they have since removed the download function for most of their content. It doesn't matter. They'll find a way to get it. They can always make copies of the page. Like, for instance, if you go to fakecall.net, you will find MGTOW.TV. And, oh yeah, Amber doesn't know who the hell's running or mirroring that site, by the way. But my content and your content and everybody's content is on fakecall.net, and we need to find out what the fuck's going on, which is one of the reasons I'm kind of taking things more to YouTube and all that, because it's just like feds or something. Like, look, I'm on YouTube, you know, don't fuck with me. It's like, oh, yeah, you're and like, okay, if you're going to get me, go get Nick, go get Yellow Flash, go get all these other guys, you know, go get the Comicsgate people, you know, everything that, if you want to get all them. I mean, I have, like, no fucking, I do, I have 200 subs, and I'm very thankful for those. If you like the stuff, sub to it, but I'm nowhere near even some of my followers, like Reishi's got 2,600, like, wow, that's awesome, dude. I'm glad you're subbing to my content, you like my content enough. Yeah. That's really cool. Because he's actually got a big following. I mean, I'm trying here. It's just, you know, my content's not for everybody, I guess. And some people don't get into the visual novels. And I wish they probably wish I'd do the Hentai Uncensored. Which I do. If you do the subscribe star thing and pay $5 a month, I'll give you guys a fucking unedited hentai thing. Like fucking straight nukigay every month or every week. I just uploaded Invisible Cock and I uploaded... The housewife booty blackmail one. So there's two of those, and they're both on Pixel Drain, and you guys can go see those. Like
you
it's
could
like
just have an episode of just naming off the kind of names five, that come up for.
It's $5 a month, man. I mean, it's not that big a deal, and you're getting the free hentai uncensored shit, and it's pretty much all sex scenes. So if that's what you guys want, I'll give you that. But,
definitely send feedback on what...
Yeah, I mean, I did tell people that if you go, because there's a support link at the bottom, but one of the guys that I know on YouTube basically started putting his support info in the comments section. And I figured, maybe I should do that. Instead of putting it in the video, I'll just make it a comment. And maybe people would kind of look at that, because some people don't look at the video information,
yeah,
they look at the comments. So I'm going to try to start doing that, because I really want to build some subs and build like a fan base, because I want to start doing shows with larger names, and the only way I can do that is by building a fan base. Because like Sandman's not going to want to come in here if only got like 200 people or 100 and something people. He wants people to like have 1,000 or something, somebody that actually... you know, has a following or has people that care. Now, granted, if I do somebody like that, I probably will get more, subscribers because they're like, oh, this guy did Sandman. And one other thing I'll say real quick before we get back into the article is even if you don't like the content of somebody, like say, there was a bunch of guys that were on Flashcast. Well, I don't really know everybody, and I don't know their content that much, so I just looked at their channels, you know, as they were linked in the video description or the info. Uh-huh. I checked that, and I was like, well, I don't really know much about Quarter Black Guy. I don't really know much about this Ryan guy. I don't know much about these people. But you know what? I'm going to give them a sub anyway because I support what they stand for. It doesn't mean you get notifications. Now, only if you want to be notified of their stuff do you get notifications. But if you don't bang the bell, then you won't get the notifications. But you give them the sub, and that sub helps. Like, that sub helps them to get to a larger audience. It helps them to get monetized and other things like that they want to do. Because YouTube won't even fuck with you until you get up to at least 1,000 people. And, you know, that's the hard part, getting up to 1,000. So that's what I really recommend. I recommend it to everybody. Like, everybody that has a YouTube channel in here, or everybody that has a MGTOW channel or BitChute channel, like, sub to people. I know it may work differently with MGTOW.TV because they don't have a notification thing. I wish they did so that you can just sub but not notify, because not everybody wants to be notified of my hentai stuff. And I actually lost some subs because they just didn't want constant stuff about the hentai and visual novels. They only wanted like red pill content. So that's one reason why I will actually be making a video called Sub Don't Notify. And I think that's gonna be necessary. I mean, I could have it as part of this too, but I think it makes it easier if I make a short little video talking about why it's important to sub to everybody, even if you don't like their content. I'm not talking about their, like, oh, I'm not interested in car stuff.
Well, if you're interested in certain parts,
well, this guy does car stuff. Well, I'm not a big car guy, but I listen to him talking on a show, and I like what he says. I like the kind of things, so I want to stand by that message. I want to give him support for that message, but I don't personally, like, even like, oh, I don't really like hentai, I don't really like visual novels, but I like what this guy Grimm has to say. So I want to sub for that. And maybe... Well,
that makes
more
sense.
So that works.
I've never subscribed to Dick or Dildo.
Right. But, I mean, if you agree with somebody, and it's cool that YouTube actually lets you do that. That you don't get anybody's updates unless you notify. If you notify, they'll give you damn near everything. But if you just sub, they won't necessarily give you updates. Because some people don't really care. I mean, some people are like, I've got too many people to follow as it is. And I mean, I can't listen to everybody's everything. I'm thankful to the people that are actually listening to me now, because you actually took time out of your day to freaking do it. So that means something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just helps. I know it's been a lot of ranty, but, you know, I haven't done this in a while, and I'm still kind of recovering from things. But anyway, let's get back to this issue. Basically, she says, it really sucks to think that it doesn't matter how old I am, that my sexual abuse as a child is immortalized in videos and not just on somebody's private computer, but on the internet, and it's never going to go away, said Jane Doe. I feel like it had to have been so incredibly obvious to anybody watching it that this was a child. It's on the dark web where people are intentionally going to look for this, she said. Pornhub has been at the center of a number of legal and journalistic investigations, and the site removed approximately 9 million videos in 2020. Yeah, we remember that. A lot of them were hentai. The site is now battling a class action lawsuit and being sued for $600 million for the hosting of Jane Doe's and other footage, including sexual abuse, pornographic material, and CSAM, which is child sexual abuse material. In February 2021, MindGeek stated they would be contesting the suit. On October the 20th, MindGeek settled another suit brought by 50 women who claimed to have been part of sex trafficking operation by the adult company Girls Do Porn. Wow! That I didn't know about. They said they were coerced by the site and that Pornhub knew of the allegations of trafficking and assault but formed a partnership with Girls Do Porn nonetheless. In a statement, Pornhub parent company MindGeek said it had zero tolerance over the posting of illegal content on its platforms, reported the BBC. The parties reached a mutual resolution to resolve the dispute in the terms of confidential, Brian Holm, the lawyer representative of women, said in an emailed statement. The case has been settled, but the terms of the settlement have not been made public. The original amount MindGeek was being sued for was $40 million.
Oh,
yeah. Yep. Okay. Got another one here. I don't know, like, Phoenix posted some stuff. I don't know if he wants me to cover it, but I'm covering it. Kanye West spotted in New York City wearing a strange white face mask. Kanye West loves to turn heads, and that's exactly what he did in New York City today. According to TMZ, Ye is walking around the Big Apple today, and his face and head are completely covered by a rubber white mask. As of now, no one really knows what the deal is with the mask, but this one clearly looks like a white person's face, and he was spotted all over the city in JFK Airport wearing it. Maybe this is his new look after changing his name legally to Ye. Yeah. What do you think Kanye is up to? I don't know. I think Lider it's just
with Crowder covered it on his.
I think it's just publicity.
But he was meeting with someone's lawyer. I think it had to do with Trump.
All right. Well, I was wanted to cover this. Breaking. Women's physique bodybuilder Jennifer Hernandez passed away at 58. Women's physique competitor reportedly dies from a cause yet not disclosed. The death of women's physique competitor Jennifer Hernandez, age 58, marks another sad day in the bodybuilding community. It is a story that is still still developing. Denise James, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, shared on his Instagram, or Dennis James, rather, that's a guy, shared on his Instagram that IFBB pro Jennifer Hernandez has sadly passed away. I am familiar with her work. The cause or nature of her premature passing is still unknown, but with such news, family members and friends will more than likely speak up as soon as they digest the situation themselves. It's really crazy. Said, I'm still in shock. I can't believe we lost you, Jen. Rest in peace, Jennifer Hernandez. It's you will be missed forever and always. Jennifer's last competition was at the Tampa Pro 2021 in August. She has been a women's physique competitor since 2005 and was competing as an IFBB pro since getting her pro card in 2009 at the age of 47. Now, if I could ever get my friend on here that is fitness trainer, she would probably be able to talk about a lot of the things that could have happened in that situation. I'm sure she's familiar with the Jennifer Hernandez situation, as she's very big into fitness and used to be a bodybuilder at one time until she realized it was very, very, very risky. Her main goal was to spread positivity, optimism, and promote a healthy lifestyle. Here's what she had to say about her mission and goal on her website. We all have the ability to shine bright like a star. We have the power to live life to our fullest potential. My goal is to teach the world one person at a time about cherishing yourself, your body, your spirit, pursuing your dreams. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle with good nutrition, exercise, and a positive mindset are the basic body building blocks to being strong, confident, healthy, and successful, or happy and successful. I want you to live a life filled with good health, positive energy, happiness, and love by teaching you to make better lifestyle choices. Let's spread more love and happiness in the world. I am a role model, fitness competitor, personal trainer, teacher, competitor, mom, grandmother, and leader. I am inspired by the desire to inspire you. My mission is to motivate and inspire our current and future generations by providing knowledge about good nutrition, staying active, and practicing a healthy lifestyle. I am committed to fight against obesity in children. I want to share my journey and experience as a professional competitor to help inspire those that want to make a charge and live life at their fullest potential possible. Let's make positive changes and live a healthy, happy, and successful life. I am inspired by the desire to inspire you, Jennifer Hernandez. High-level bodybuilding and premature death of its competitors have a long history. Even though it's still early to speculate on the nature of Hernandez's passing, an educated guess would point towards her profession having a role in her early passing. Just this year, there have been several cases of bodybuilders losing their lives way too early, with the most recent example being 37-year-old George Peterson. What exactly ended her life is still unknown, and no official statement has been made by either her friends or family, and as now, any speculation of her death is just that, speculation. We here at Fitness Vault would like to offer our deepest and sincerest condolences to the family, friends, and supporters of Jennifer Hernandez. Yep, it happens a lot in this profession. They're trying to be the best of the best, and she was ripped, let me tell you. Absolutely fucking ripped. So,
Well, a lot of that, you know, some of it can be illegal substances.
Well, a lot of it is.
Some of it can be dehydration, because they had to start, basically, they starve themselves before a competition, and they try to get rid of all the water weight they can, you know. So
I know.
Yeah. So, it, you know, it's a lot of things that can cause death, just how they prepare for a competition.
Yep. That's what she... It would be great if I could get her in somehow. I don't even know if she knows how to use Discord, but I'd love to talk to her about it. I've never talked to her in person before, or on anything, but it would be great to hear what she has to say. She's very intelligent.
Yeah.
Very intelligent, very smart, very, well, I mean, former military.
Yeah. That didn't always mean
former military. She's almost like a drill sergeant kind of woman, I guess. But it would be good to kind of
smart to do that.
You know, I'm just saying she has more of a logical sense. She's the kind of woman that's always reading. Instead of, like, the romance books and all that stuff. Like, I mean, I'm not saying she doesn't read that stuff, but she's reading a lot of, like, philosophy and psychology and all that kind of stuff. She really gets into a lot of, self-improvement, all that kinds of stuff. And, of course, she has a very successful website. I'm not going to mention the name of it, but she's got a pretty successful website, and it would be great to hear from her about just the bodybuilding and the effects on all that. And she's definitely familiar with Denise Rutkowski. She actually made an article, or she mentioned that on her website when she was talking about the dangers of bodybuilding and the supplements. Not the supplements, but the hormones that they use. The hormones definitely could have had an impact in Hernandez's death. I mean, I'm not saying that, but it's very possible.
Oh, yeah.
Be very, very careful. I remember Lisa Cross talking about it. Lisa Cross has talked about how it's a lot to do with, like, it's like insulin. It's like putting insulin in your body, she said.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. There are some things that just aren't meant to...
Mm-hmm.
It's going to give you... Like that wandering spider in Brazil, it bites you. You got the best erection you ever had in your life, but it also gives you a heart attack.
Yep. This week, DC Comics launched a new series, Nubia and the Amazons. Oh, I'm sorry. DC Comics introduces trans women to Wonder Woman's Paradise Island. This week, DC Comics launched a new series, Nubia and the Amazons, by Vida Ayala. Vida Ayala. Stephanie Williams and Alyssa Martinez.
They're already breaking canon.
Fucking, because it features classic DC Comics character Nubia, a new queen of Themyscira, Paradise Island, in the absence of Wonder Woman. It depicted the Well of Souls, from which Themyscira welcomes new sisters as citizens of Paradise Island, souls of women who died from violence in man's world reincarnated as Amazons. Some wondered if these were suggestions that they may include trans women among the reincarnated. Stephanie Williams answered that question on Twitter earlier today, saying, if you read Nubia and the Amazons number one, the answer to your burning questions is yes, there are trans Amazons. One of the newest Amazons is a black trans woman. As much as it is important for Nubia and the Amazons miniseries to reintroduce Nubia and establish her definitive role in the DCU, it is also important to make clear that Themyscira is a place for all women. As much as it is important for Nubia... For Nubia and the Amazons miniseries to reintroduce Nubia and establish her definitive role in the DCU, it is also important to make clear that Themyscira is a place for all women. BLA will have a role in Themyscira beyond just existing. She isn't set dressing, she isn't a box to tick, she isn't a fully fledged character that's important to her community, just as black trans women are important to us in real life. As for her name, Stephanie Williams added, Bia name was inspired by Titan goddess of the same name who represents power and energy. Vita Ayala added, we didn't want to make an announcement because we wanted to introduce the character in an organic way, but it's not a secret. We're glad people picked up on it, but if y'all hadn't, we would have made sure to say so it made... Hold on. We would have made sure to say it so it wasn't hand-wavable subtext. This was written, drawn, colored, lettered, and published with the full support of our team. The project is incredibly special to us, and we are grateful to be involved in it. Nubia and the Amazons number one is in comic stores now. Nubia and the Amazons 2 will be published by DC on the 16th of November. So...
I will say, if you don't support where this is going, don't buy the thing just to see what it's about.
Well, I will say, you know, because I did watch Dave Chappelle's special.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have an issue with trans women at all.
I don't know.
And I will say that what happened to Daphne, because I actually looked that up. I did my research.
Oh, yeah, I feel bad.
Because I was like, I looked it up, and I was like, yeah, I bet Twitter did it. Because you don't understand how bad Twitter is. Twitter is a fucking hellhole that needs to be purged. No, there is no or.
Yeah, it's Twitter's
Twitter
fault,
is
but
a fucking hellhole that would drive people to suicide.
The people that were on there harassing her.
Well, it's Twitter. Because Twitter allows them to be there. They don't even need to... I mean, people like that, that have nothing good to say. Like, I mean, I'm not even saying nothing good to say, but are literally trying to harass and ruin somebody's life. Trying to force to get somebody to kill themselves. They need to be, you know... They don't need to be on that platform. They don't need to fucking... I mean, there's, free speech and all, but my God, dude. Like, you're gonna threaten to fucking kill, just... And not only that... They'll, like, dox her, and then they'll get all the information that can be used to destroy her employer, her life, her employment, all that kind of stuff, to where you have nothing left. It's really, really, really bad that they even allow that shit.
But
that's called threatening.
Like Chappelle, if you don't bow down to their demands.
Yes, but at the same time, if they destroy everything you've got where you can't even get a fucking job to support yourself, then you're in trouble. That's what I'm saying. Because these people can destroy your fucking life.
I mean,
and they should not be given the right to do that. Yes. Okay. Do you want me to explain?
Now, if you said something horrible
online. Let me explain this to you. Let me tell you about some of the things that can be done.
All right.
First of all, they can lie. And they do lie. They can call your employer and they can say all kinds of horrible things. And how you shouldn't have this person working for you. This person is evil. This person is blah, blah, blah. This person is a terrible, terrible person. They're horrible. I can't believe your company would allow somebody. And they'll just constantly call. And it won't be one. It'll be several. You'll have 50 and 60. You'll have the whole internet completely calling and ruining this person's life. And then they'll start trying to get to their family members and their kids. They don't care. They do not fucking care. They will do everything they can. There's people that have had SWAT teams called on them. There's a lot of situations that can get really bad because of Twitter. Yeah. And Twitter, you know what? And it's the fact that Jack Dorsey can no longer manage his website. He can't. He is. It is too big for Jack Dorsey.
Well, I mean, he's Jack not Dorsey. To be managing it.
Yeah, but his team cannot do it, because his team already allows CP. It allows animal stuff. It allows all kinds. I mean, they're not getting rid of it. They're not getting rid of it. They say, oh, yeah, you're not getting rid of it. Whoever you've got in there is not doing their job. It's bigger than Jack Dorsey now. Yeah. And Dorsey is like, he's like, oh, yeah, Dorsey's panicking right now because he knows inflation's bad and it's going to be rough for him. Apparently, he thinks it's going to be rough for him. He's really freaking out about it. If you look up anything about Dorsey right now, he's freaking out about inflation. I don't know.
People should be freaking out about inflation.
Yeah, I know that. But Dorsey, in general, is going all over the internet talking about how much he's worried about it. And meanwhile, while he's panicking, all these people are just doing whatever they fucking want on Twitter. They're basically like, oh, yeah, let's ruin everybody's damn life. Yeah. And, I mean, granted, there are people that are doing like horrible fucking things, and I mean, there's people that'll dox and then they'll get doxed. Like, I remember, looking at the stuff that happened with Ken. A lot of guys were doxing all those women, and some of them actually had really high profile positions. I'm like, damn, you're gonna say things like that, and they'll admit that they were jokingly doing it, like they knew that this person didn't actually do these things. But they,
damage is done. At that point.
And it's not cool. It's like a side effect of boredom. It's a side effect of boredom. It's a side effect of people not being happy with their life, not getting what they wanted. Maybe you're older. No. I wouldn't even say that. Maybe you're an older person. You didn't get the kind of life you wanted, and you're jealous because of somebody else's life, or you've decided to dissociate from the fact that your life isn't very great. So you say, oh, well, this person's doing this, like with the court case or whatever. They would throw themselves towards this court case, and they would focus on this court case and this person as if it was their kid. You know, I'm not going to talk about the case, but they would focus on that. And the problem is, you know, then they get so involved in it that they consider themselves like, you know, the mothers, and, oh, well, this person is this, and this person is that, and, you know, it's just all out of boredom. It's like you get really involved in a television show, and one of the actors does something in the television show that you don't like, and you're going on Twitter, and you're telling about how horrible of a person he is, you know, because your life is not that great. Like, maybe he said something, and I'm not talking about something he did in real life. I'm talking about something he did on the show. Something he did on the show that was scripted by writers that you didn't like, and you're actually going to Twitter, because people have done this. Have gone to Twitter and said, oh, yeah, I didn't like that you did this on this show. And the guy's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do about it? All I'm doing is reading a script that somebody else wrote, you know? I've barely had any say in it, you know? I just did my job. I collected my paycheck. You know, that's what they do. And they're like, oh my god, I can't believe you. It's like, dude, a good example of this is that last Star Wars movie that didn't exist. The one where Kylo Ren dies. And everybody was losing their mind and saying they need therapy and telling J.J. Abrams, literally on Reddit, because I read the post myself, that they wanted J.J. Abrams to pay for their therapy bills. Literally, tweeting him and stuff.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, they were really trying to get something happen to J.J. Abrams. And what do you think happened with all the actors and actresses? They didn't want a goddamn thing to do with Star Wars after that. Not only was it not doing well for them, but it was ruining their lives. People were harassing the actor that played Kylo Ren. He's former military fucking Marine.
And the thing was,
and he's got
the
PTSD.
People are bitching about it. Are the ones that they were catering to that really weren't big Star Wars
fans
to
begin with. They wanted Kylo Ren to get together with, what's her fucking name?
Yeah.
Ray, and it was just fucking stupid. That's what I'm talking about, though, folks. That's the kind of shit that's scary. When you got people that are so disassociated from reality that they throw themselves into something, you know, that's completely none of their business. Or, I mean, it's interesting to hear about these cases, you know, and yes, maybe some people want to get involved, but at the end of the day, you know, the court has the final say, and, you know, and when it comes to movies, the director has the final say, the script writers have the final say, the studios have the final say, you know, everything that is not in your control happens. Like, there's so many movies that's like, oh, I don't like how that ended. I don't go in there and tell them, you know. I mean, I can review it and say I didn't like this and that, but I'm not going to threaten them. I'm not going to go and threaten them and say, oh.
It's one thing, but saying if you don't fix this.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, the damage is already done. And move on to something else. You know, I say that.
Look at The Last of Us 2. You know, The Last of Us 2.
I just didn't buy it.
Yeah, I mean. Well,
and I wanted to buy it. Yeah,
The Last of Us 2.
Until the point like, we found out what we did.
People got pissed at The Last of Us 2. I mean, agreeable. Yeah, we understand. People were not fucking happy with The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't recall anybody threatening or, I mean, maybe there was. I don't know. But I don't know. I think that's too far. I mean, if they want to go woke with their shit, like they got apparently woke with the new Saints Row, I mean, then fine, don't buy it. Don't fucking bitch about it. Like, Far Cry 6 apparently had some woke shit. It was really boring. So nobody fucking really bought it. And it didn't do well. I can attest to it. I work in retail. I've seen it. It's like, no, nobody's fucking really buying that game. Yeah. Nobody's really buying Dread. Well, they weren't buying Dread for a while. Now there's only one copy left. But when No More Heroes 3 came out, dude, that thing was gone. Like, that thing was gone the first day. Metroid Dread waited fucking days before people started getting every copy of that. So, I mean, it just depends on what people want. People are going to want what they want. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want that because of this. I don't want that because of that. And they're going to vote with their wallets. I mean, okay. I just did a conversation about that with Drexel in the Q&A. And basically, I was saying that, look, you may not have liked some of these movies that came out, but I can tell you what sold. I mean, I walk by the top-selling, best-selling movies all the time.
I will
and when
say,
I see
too,
the,
it could be lack of options, too, because right now,
that's
movies
true.
Are just now getting to come back in theaters.
Well, yeah, but people are really getting onto the HBO Max and Paramount and all that stuff, too, so it's not that big of a deal. Those are selling, but we can't figure out digital figures, but I can tell you that people are buying copies of movies that are on those streaming platforms. They're buying the physicals like crazy.
Yeah. Well,
the Justice League one sold the hell out.
Yeah.
The Snake Eyes one sold the hell out. There were a couple others that sold out. I was really surprised. Black Widow sold the hell out.
Yeah.
She's bitching about losing money on her movie. And people bought the fuck out of it.
Well,
I don't even think there's a...
probably didn't do good in, what... was it Disney? Because I think they charge you to watch it.
Yeah, they charge you to watch it. Yeah, but that wasn't it. She was mad. The actress was mad.
Yeah.
She was mad. She wasn't making enough money from it.
Yeah.
And they're, okay, what do you mean you didn't make? You see how many people do? I can't even find a copy of that movie in the store.
Yeah,
that's how well it's sold. And I expect the same to happen with Shang-Chi. When that comes out, I expect a lot of this shit to happen. I mean, now there's definitely Fast and Furious 9. Let me tell you what Fast and Furious 9 did. Nothing. It's still sitting there in a fucking box. The Boss Baby 2, it's still sitting there in a fucking box. Nobody's buying that shit. Nobody's buying those Fast 9.
In China because it sure didn't do good.
Had initial buyers that came in, like the fans. And then everybody else was like, no, fuck it. I don't want to buy this shit. And they didn't buy it. Free Guy, it did okay, but it didn't sell completely out.
I got it because I thought it was really good.
I didn't get it because I don't support the relationship in it.
What?
That guy, that's the feminist soy boy. Admittedly feminist soy boy.
I mean,
I don't want to promote that kind of stuff. And by buying that, that means I promote
soy
that
boy.
Kind. Yeah, he is literally a feminist soy boy. he simps for that girl, and he's like, oh, well, I did the things on feminism. I talked about the point. I was like, dude, really? And granted, they did do a very good job of the asshole that works in the game dev studio, because that guy is very believable. As I think it was Koopa was talking about, they really have guys like that. They really have people like that in those game dev studios. And that's a very good representation. So I don't have any fucking problem with that. But as far as the whole... I mean, I liked Ryan Reynolds' performance in there. Because it was kind of rom-com mixed with action.
I mean,
but at the same time, you know, again, I don't like the way all this was going. And I like the idea about the indie game that they use, because that's actually happened. The thing about Free Guy is that it's a real story. There have been several fucking, you can actually look it up, where they have found like indie games and stuff that they basically would take the code from and make their own fucking game out of a big budget game.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, you know, just because they're simp soy boy and all that,
can't support
doing that for years.
But not like they did there.
I mean,
not like they did there.
Just never had a name until.
Well, not like they did there.
Past couple of years.
Not where the guy's actively promoting feminism.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the way they were promoting him.
Well, I didn't care for that. I think White Knighting was used.
Yeah, White Knighting. There were definitely some woke terms in the film. Yeah. I didn't think it was a bad film, but I just can't support that, unfortunately. That's just not something of part of woke Hollywood I don't want to be a part of. I get it was written by guys. I mean, I know it was written by guys. I looked at the writers. But those guys, they're cucked Hollywood guys. And they were promoting the progressive stuff. And if you go back and look at some of the movies I've got now, because I went back and got some older comedies, you know, from the $5 bin.
Yeah.
I grabbed, like, let's see, what did I get? Because I actually got some, let's see. I got, hold on, guys. Let me go through these real quick just to kind of briefly tell you. Like, I got them, let's see. Road Trip, Euro Trip, and Beer Pong. And then I got, what was it? That here it is. Van Wilder, Dirty Grandpa, and Sex Drive.
Oh, yeah.
All those movies, you know, they're raunchy, sexy, you know, they don't necessarily promote
2000
the, they don't usually promote the soy boy and the feminism and all that kind of stuff, because that wasn't what people were watching, it wasn't what people were into, but now it's all about this progressivism now, so I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to continue supporting movies that are, you know, I mean, and that are not fucking woke, you know, like at the $5 bin. Like, I'm not gonna pay like full price for, you know, old movies that, but the stuff that's like not gonna really make them anything, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy those cheap movie packs and stuff to get that, the classics, before they try to take them away, because I don't fucking trust people anymore with these classics. I don't trust them anymore with these classics. Yeah. Well, it has been a heck of a fucking show. I mean, I had to talk about so much different shit that was going on with me. I don't even know what's going on with my mobile device here. It seems to have frozen. Maybe I should just let it go.
Oh.
But let's see. Oh, here it goes. Yeah, people probably... No, they're still in there.
Any questions?
I'm going to look at the show chats real quick, but I don't think there's much. Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Am I not here? Oh, my God. Okay, well, sorry, Discord crew. I was gone. I think my fucking phone did some shit. It's a good show, though. I mean, we're about to end it. I guess you guys will see it when I get it up this week. I apologize for that. I'm going to do another one because I want to cover the other stuff. Like, I don't want to really cover with DP about robots and all that kind of stuff because I got a lot of stuff about that. And I prefer to cover that, like, yeah, tomorrow. But,
Your passion of no human contact.
Robots and all that kind of stuff. VR, all that. Yeah, we'll talk about that later because I got some really good articles about that. But I'm here. I'm sorry. You guys will probably hopefully check it out. I'm going to put this on YouTube, so we'll see how that goes. I don't know if I'll lose people or gain people. But I do want people to know for sure that, you know, I'm going to have both the visual novels and the hentai up there. I'm thinking about, though, getting rid of the visual novels on MGTOW.TV and just making all the hentai in MGTOW.TV and letting people go to YouTube for the visual novel stuff because it's a lot of hassle. And I don't think people like the spam of so much visual novel stuff, especially when it is really supposed to be like a red pill place. And they're like, oh, you know, I mean, I guess I can understand hentai waifus, and that's cool.
I might have to do a separate channel.
But I might have to do, well, no, I don't want to have to compromise. But I will definitely do the visual novel stuff and just combine the red pill stuff with it. And I'm going to do a video about another channel change and thank everybody, you know, for subbing. And I'm going to go with YouTube because they're my biggest subscriber base right now. So, and again, there's a lot more people on YouTube I follow and listen to than on, like, other platforms. And to be fair, you know, MGTOW.TV has a lot of stuff that's just coming from YouTube. So it's really silly when you think about it. Because, like, all this stuff that a lot of these guys are posting is just stuff that's came off of YouTube. I'm like, well, damn, I can go see that on YouTube right now. So, at the same time, other than a hentai, and stuff about, like, the jab and, you know, things like the election, stuff like that, there's really not a big reason for me to go to MGTOW.TV unless, I mean, I don't know. I don't really look at a lot of stuff on there, to be honest. I like putting my content on there, but I don't watch a lot of stuff on there. I usually wait for Sandman to just jump on YouTube. And I guess that's because the app is really convenient. I guess I'm just really used to that app, and I've got so many people I follow on there. And there's still a strong Manosphere community over there, you know. And I'm not against women or trans people or anything like that. I want people to know that, you know, the fatty caddies might be like, oh, yeah, you probably hate women. No, I actually don't. Matter of fact, I hung around more girls than I did guys. I've never got into a lot of, like, other than the geeky gaming stuff, but I found geeky gaming girls, actually, because that was a thing. And some of them, a lot of them were kind of big girls. I mean, that's just what they were, but they were really serious about gaming. Like, they didn't take a lot of other things seriously, but they would, you know, like, as far as maybe hygiene and, I won't say that. I mean, they took baths and all that, but you know, they didn't primp themselves up.
They didn't
exercise a lot, but they would play the hell out of games, and they would be really damn good at games.
Looking aesthetically and, pleasing.
Yeah, they weren't trying to do that. So I don't even really have a problem with that, because they are legit fucking gamer girls. A lot of people don't realize that legit fucking gamer girls don't look like the ones with the goddamn controller on Twitch. They're, oh, look at me, you know. You could tell that shit was fake, because very few gamer girls that are really serious about gaming look like fucking models while they're playing the games. They look like the fucking woman that just got out of bed, and she still got bedhead, and her clothes are all kind of, you know, like she slept in her clothes. Like, I've seen that shit happen. Like, or she's in her the jogging pants, because there is the jogging pants thing where that's what they're wearing, and they're playing the fucking game. And she's like, shut up, I'm going to beat this part, you know. That shit exists. It's not quite what you think, but it does exist. And that's one reason I like, you know, they talk about Star Wars Girl and Mandy and all those other people like that, because, you know, it's good to have women involved in this that are kind of halfway damn decent. And one of the things I didn't like about MGTOW is that it was so much about just, I mean, yeah, walking away from relationships is fine. But, like, walking away from, like, even talking or interacting with women, like, I understand the Me Too and stuff like that. And I understand that you don't want to just go by and, you know, talk to women at the office or something like that that you might get in trouble with, or walk down the hall, or be careful of the girl in the club. I mean, it's a lot about caution. It's always been about caution.
Well, but the at the about same the time, thing is, the people that they're against are so few, and you know, there's not.
There's
such,
a lot of guys.
I mean,
that,
there's a lot of skeevy guys. Some, but yeah. The ones that actually attack and rape women and all that,
well, yeah,
aren't
that,
near
yeah.
as much. As
well,
so
we
they
know
go
that.
After the innocent guys too.
Yeah,
that's
and
what
that's I'm saying. What,
where
that's
the
what I'm saying.
Me too
so that's where a lot of that
downfall.
Is. That's
yeah.
where a lot of that goes. But I'm not saying that we should just be completely. I mean, yes, there's chameleons. Yes, there's women in there that will try to grift and say that all these things. And there's definitely a lot of them in there that aren't who they say they are. And that's understandable. But for those who do, and I mean, it's kind of unfair to say that there's not any woman at all in the entire world that, you know, doesn't actually feel that way, because I know for sure there are. It's just, you know, the brain of a woman is fucking different than a man. Like, it is. And that's one thing that some women will actually tell you, that, yeah, they fucking think differently.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that a lot of women need to understand. Like, that's why the fatty caddies don't get, oh, you ate women. Like, no. You know, I have a friend of mine, very, very close friend. She's always been a big girl, and she said she would look at herself in the mirror, and it's just, like, really disgusting, and she didn't know what to do about it. It's always hard, and she's always dealt with it. But she hasn't killed herself or anything. She didn't do anything like that. She just, she's always been that way, and I don't know. I mean, some people, they just have their own way of doing things. They have their own way of looking at things, and I don't know. I honestly don't think it's worth...
I mean, some people can't because
yeah,
their hormones,
hormones
and all that.
And all that. Mm-hmm.
How much of the population that actually is
yeah, like some, because sometimes this was guys too.
But oh yeah, but basically it leads down to you have to want to change. You can't change
yeah.
because you want other people to find you attractive.
Yeah,
you have to feel good for yourself. You know, I know that sounds a little. Hokey and corny, but that's honestly, if you know,
no,
why
know.
Do you do anything because you want to?
It's like, you know, Drexel has all these women in there, and I said, well, I can talk with women. I've been talking to women for years. I've
well, he's used roomed, to it.
Yeah, I've,
he has,
yeah,
you know, when you're used to it,
well,
it,
no,
it
I
boggles
I,
you how it's
back up,
okay.
I was saying
can
I could
sentence,
no
sir, without you
no because
me
you
off?
Completely no you didn't you completely misunderstood what I said.
All
right. I said I've been talking to them for years, not him. We both have. I remember I used to have female roommates. I used to hang around with the girls
yeah.
all the time. I remember sitting in the back seat of a car while two girls were singing "When He Cheats" at the top of their fucking lungs. I
yeah,
remember that. I remember that. Okay, so I do
mean,
know
cool.
what it's like to talk to these
I
women.
Talked to plenty of girls. Myself,
I know.
I'm saying
you know,
that. Sometimes I will put it to you this way, like whenever you meet someone that finds it so bizarre, you can talk to the opposite sex so nonchalantly.
Yeah.
It blows their fucking mind. Like,
well,
hell,
you just
do
have to understand.
Girls, I always feel more comfortable having a reason to talk to
girls always called
up.
Me up to discuss fucking problems and issues, so mm. I've got no problem talking. I should have been a therapist, because that seems to be one of my main... Mm. I think I miss that in my life, because I'm always interested in what's going on with people. It's like, okay, what's going on? Like, and people will, of course, tell you they want internet therapy. They want, oh, well, this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. And before internet therapy, it was phone call therapy. Oh, this happened and that happened, and I don't know what to do, and what do you have advice? And I'd always come up with advice, and they were happy with it, and... I mean, that's all it was.
Well, that's good.
But
I think there's a little more to being a therapist.
No, there's
There's the ethylene training and understanding why certain things.
I'm saying that you have to. Of course, but I'm saying you have to have at least a vain interest in people and try.
I've always thought I should be a doctor. I mean, I could do it.
I don't think it's not being. It's not the same as a doctor because a doctor has to do surgeries.
I mean,
and shit.
To a certain extent, it's not. You can fuck someone's head up if you give them the wrong shit.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying.
I mean,
you have to know what the wrong shit is. And it's not that hard to know what the wrong shit is when you're dealing with somebody. Especially if you've dealt with people as I have.
I know, and that's cool and all. But there's those that study the stuff, and there's those that are know just enough to be dangerous.
No, that's fine. I mean, you know, I mean, basically, well, you know, if you tell people to, you know, for the most part, in this community, like, chill out, because that seems to be the biggest problem, is people literally need to chill out and stop freaking out so much about the women and things like that and focus more on their,
Well, I do think there's a mental health epidemic.
Yeah, but I was saying here in the manosphere in general, there's too much focus on, as I've said, these women. And not enough focus on, like, actually what it means to do your own thing and, you know, not focus on them. It doesn't even mean you don't have to, you can't talk to women anymore. Like, I actually can encourage guys to at least fucking, like, if you have female friends, as I'm sure, like, most of us do. I mean, at some point, I figure. That doesn't mean, oh, I'm cutting off all my female friends, you know. But that does mean, like, if they're saying, oh, I want the D or something like that, you know it's fuck shit. Like, ignore it. Don't, I mean, if you want to give them the D, give them the D. But, if you know, you got to understand what the fucking consequences of that could be. You know, like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. Or say, you know what, this probably isn't a good time. And you're not in your head. I'm not in mine. Let's not do this right now. Obviously, during the pandemic, things were pretty messed up. So, yeah, that's probably a good situation, you know. But that's just what I have to say about that. I mean, I think you can work with people, and I think that's what the most important part of being a therapist is. I mean, would I be like a child therapist? No. I prefer to work with adults. I'm not good with children, but I would work with adults. I like solving adult issues. I don't like solving children's issues.
Well, you know, they go through internships and stuff like doctors do. So, I mean, they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have several years of college and stuff you had to go to.
Of course, if you want to be,
I mean, I was.
I mean, I have the books and everything.
I was really good in psychology class. I just didn't further it as a major.
I wanted to do. Yeah, I was too. I just wanted to. I wanted to go. I probably should have gone further, but I wanted to take writing further, and I shouldn't have taken writing further. I should have taken psychology further. But I can't go back. I have to realize, hey, I can still kind of.
You could. I mean,
well, I mean, I'm no. I mean, I'm not going back to school. But I'm just saying that. I mean, I'm saying I can still kind of, you know, provide help here, and I think a lot of guys do this. A lot of guys give advice here. That's pretty much what we have here. Is a lot of men giving advice and. Some of them have degrees in it. Some of them don't. It just depends. Whatever advice helps. Some guys get grifted. They get completely grifted by, you know, the PUAs. And, that was bad. That didn't help at all. But, you know, then some guys are like, oh, this is good advice. So, it just depends. All right. I guess at any rate, since I'm going to start the open mic now, this will be the Grim Lord, and I think I am out for this one.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.